Hello, and welcome to The Check-In. This is where we check in together for community, connection, and conversation over the airwaves. Today, we're talking about an older topic, but a necessary one. Since the beginning of the pandemic, many have been concerned for the lasting effects quarantine will have on children. As babies born in isolation are now celebrating their first birthdays, and high school seniors are quietly mourning the loss of prom as they step blindly into a new stage of life. But today, we're asking that all-important question. What about the parents? Parents have been working overtime since the start of the pandemic. Many even took on the additional job of teacher when their children's schools went online. But when it became clear that quarantine was going to last for a lot longer than 2 weeks, parents suddenly had to learn how to balance their new tasks long term. The CDC announced that new social distancing guidelines would be limited to 3 feet instead of 6, and schools all over the nation are taking this as their sign to reopen their doors. The Columbia Board of Education voted to have all students return to classrooms 5 days a week starting April 2nd, and parents are finally starting to see their lives return to normal. But how has this year of working and teaching, on top of being a parent, actually affected these parents and their kids? Today on The Check-In, we're talking about parenting during a pandemic, the challenges parents are facing right now, and how it's impacting kids. What were the biggest parenting changes you had to make this year? Were you forced to quit your job or roll back responsibilities during the pandemic? How have you seen parents around you adapt over the past year? If anything we say resonates with you, leave us a voicemail at 833-560-1329 or tweet us at checkin_KBIA to join the conversation. Stay tuned to the end of the podcast to hear an exclusive interview between me and Dr. Nicole Campioni-Barr, an associate professor with the Department of Psychological Science, as she answers more of my questions and yours. But first, to Janet.
Hi, this is The Check-In. I'm Janet Saidi. So today we are talking to you, parents, the challenges and the changes of pandemic parenting. We're also going to be talking about resources to help parents create strong and supportive environments. I see you all out there, parents. I know what it's been like. I know that you've been trying to hold down those jobs. Some of you have had to make changes in your jobs. Some of you have had to quit your jobs in order to just be able to parent and teach online schooling. Are you someone who's done that, or are you someone who's just had to try to look professional for those Zoom calls while also managing the toddler, the baby, maybe the school-aged kids and their curricula during all of this? Also, that's not even counting the pandemic and everything that's been going on along with that. You might be caretaking for others. We have a couple of experts who are going to help us with advice and resources today, and they are terrific. I can't wait to hear what they have to say. But we also really want to just hear from you. So we're stepping back and letting you take the microphone today, parents. So according to Brookings, our really smart team of producers puts a lot of information together for us here. And they found something. There are three pillars to being a good parent. And they're a lot easier said than done. One is economic stability. One is parental mental health, so just maintaining your own mental health as a parent. And the other is support for children's learning. And when you look at those three pillars, I have to say, I feel like those are the three things, if you are a parent, that have been absolutely trashed by this pandemic and everything else that has come with this pandemic during this year. Economic stability, your own parental mental health, and support for children's learning. Those have been extremely challenging. I'm a parent. For me, the hardest thing about parenting has been missing graduation and the things that happened with my daughter's senior year, and then also trying to envision a college experience for a freshman during this. My daughter has handled it fantastically. I am incredibly proud of her. She's had birthdays, she's had graduation, she's had her what should have been her freshman year starting during this pandemic. And she's just been fantastic. In fact, she's been a real source of strength, actually, for me with things that I've been through. She's really helped me. And she put off her freshman year. So I want to hear from you, though. Have you had similar things? Has this been a time where you've actually been very proud of seeing your family members and how they've coped Let us know your pride stories. Let us know your challenges and what has been terrible. You can just open up here and let us know. Also, you know, let us know what has been the unexpected positive. Maybe all of this has led you to see something very differently in when it comes to parenting, when it comes to school, when it comes to work. But particularly parents, let us know, and kids, let us know, has there been anything unexpectedly positive? I will tell you, for me, that one thing, it's hard to find, it's a little hard to find, but the thing that I would say has been nice when it comes to parenting during the pandemic has been cross-country and international Zoom meetups that we would have never done, but I have found myself connected to people in unexpected ways across the world. With family in Italy and Europe and all over the world, and also in Boston and Florida, here in Missouri, people all getting together on Zooms, which I hope that we will keep doing. I don't think any of us would have had the confidence to make everybody meet us on a birthday Zoom, but now birthday Zooms are a thing. Is that something that you want to take with you from this pandemic parenting experience, this kind of Zoom meetup, or is there anything else that you want to take with you? We have two fantastic guests that we want to bring in today too. We have on the check-in joining us today, Dr. Nicole Campioni-Barr is MU's professor in MU's Department of Psychological Sciences. It is her job and her research to find out how kids and parents talk to each other and interact with each other in the best of times. And she has some thoughts on how the pandemic has been affecting all of us. Dr. Campioni-Barr, thanks so much for joining us on the check-in today, and welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, Janet.
It's a pleasure to have you here. We also have with us Amy Evans. Amy Evans is with ParentLink's call line. It's called the Warm Line, not quite a hotline, but a warm line. And she's going to tell us what that's about. And she's been on the other end, and her team have been on the other end of a lot of parent calls and a lot of parent calls for help and advice during this pandemic. So it's great to check in with you. Amy Evans, welcome to the check-in. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Janet.
Well, it's a pleasure to have both of you with us. Let me start by asking you, Amy Evans, what is the Parent Warm Line? Why don't you just tell us what that is, and we'll break down a little bit of what the last year has been like for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So the ParentLink Warm Line is a line where family members, it doesn't even necessarily be parents, even individuals, friends, can call us and they can ask parents some questions. And our line is monitored by master's level individuals who have degrees in human services, education, counseling, psychology, those kind of degrees. And we provide evidence-based information and support as parents are going through just different parenting issues.
Okay, well, that sounds great, and that sounds particularly important during the last year. Dr. Campioni-Barr, you, as we were saying, research the interactions between kids and families during the best of times and mental health and all kinds of issues for families. Let me just ask what the past year has looked like from your vantage point, just to get us started here. What has the past year looked like as far as the biggest challenges that you're seeing for parents and kids?
Yeah, we are doing a lot of research on adolescents in particular and what their relationships are like with their parents and siblings. And we've been trying to follow some families that we initially studied early on about a year pre-pandemic and trying to see what impacts we're seeing of the impact of the pandemic now. And what we're seeing is that teens in particular are really having to rely on parents and siblings in a way that they aren't used to, because they're more used to using their friendships, their romantic partners, as their sole sources of social support. So we're really seeing them having to sort of shift their dynamics and reevaluate the importance of their family members in their lives And that obviously has both positive and negative consequences to their relationships. We're also seeing that with younger kids, there's a lot of stress and concern and reaction to stress that parents are having. And it's starting to show up in things like their pretend play. But actually, we're finding that when it shows up in those ways, it's giving parents an opportunity to talk to them and find out more about what's stressing them out. And that in itself is actually making things easier and better for those younger kids.
Okay, great. Dr. Campioni-Barr, thank you so much. We have a caller. Let's go to Sam just before our break. Sam, let me bring you in. Thanks for checking in with us. What is the experience of parenting like for you right now?
Hi. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to say that I became a father in October of 2019. And my son, well, witnessing him grow up through the pandemic and all the challenge that have gone along with that, the feelings of insecurity financially and just as a parent too. Not only that, I'm also a children's ministry pastor and been trying to bridge the gap there. You know, we aren't having services in person. And so we've been doing everything online, and it's been a real challenge to connect not only with those kids, but my own son through this time. I just wondered what you guys had to say about, what might help me feel more secure during this time.
Sam, that is a great question. Sam, if you can hang on with us, you are working as a minister to other parents and kids and also doing your own parenting. We want to hear what our guests have to say here on The Check-In. We will be back. Hang on with us right after this break.
Listen to The Check-In every Thursday at noon Central Time. Join host Janet Saidi for live conversations on community, connection, and the issues we all face in our day-to-day lives. Each week, we'll have a new guest and topic of choice, and we want to hear from you. You can call in live to be a part of the conversation or tweet us at checkin_KBIA. Can't catch the show live? Subscribe to the Check-In podcast on Apple Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is The Check-In. I'm Janet Saidi. Thanks for checking in with us. We're really wanting to hear from parents today. We know it's been really, really challenging this year. And we heard from Sam, great caller, right before we went to the break. But let me go to Dr. Campioni-Barr. What do you think of when you hear what Sam is saying? What would you like him to keep in mind?
I think one of the most important things we can keep in mind right now is that there's no such thing as a perfect parent, whether there's a pandemic going on or not. And we really do know that there's not a whole lot of difference between how well kids do when they have good parents versus super duper perfect parents. That's a very, very big difference between the activities that parents stress themselves out to do. But it's very, very little difference in terms of how positive the outcomes are for kids. So the one thing that we really need to keep in mind is that good enough parenting is really just good enough. And that's exactly what we have to keep in mind during a pandemic. These kids need warmth, support, and food and shelter, and that's it.
Okay, yes. So focus on the basics. Amy Evans with ParentLink, you have gotten all kinds of calls like this throughout the year. What would you say to someone like Sam?
Yes, yeah, we have. And, you know, the first thing we always say is to take care of yourself. Because parents, this is a rough time. And so we always tell parents to, you know, connect with their loved ones, get mental health help if they need it, and just reach out and call us, because we can be that sounding board.
Okay, great advice. I love all of that advice. Focus on the basics. Sam, if you are still there, what do you think of this advice? Are you finding it okay to concentrate on the basics and concentrate on yourself?
Yeah, I think that, that is good advice to stick to the basic stuff and try to do what I, cover the basics. And so I appreciate that, that I don't feel quite as bad knowing that as long as everybody's in the same boat, feeling like we need to just do the best we can and be there for them.
I think that's a really good point too, Sam, is that everybody's in the same boat. Sam, what do you tell the parents through your ministry? What advice do you find yourself giving that you might find actually hard to take for yourself now that you are a father?
Well, you know, being a minister, it's offering people a sense of hope that this is a temporary time. There are better times ahead. And, you know, maybe things won't go back to normal, but that won't be all bad. I think we all have a better sense of gratitude for being in person with one another when we return to church and to regular activities. So I hope that that will be a kind of an inspiring thing to help us get a full experience of being in fellowship with one another.
Okay, Sam, that's really nicely put, and thanks so much, and thanks for all you do through your faith group for others, and hang in there, and congratulations to you.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate that. Thank you all.
Dr. Campioni-Barr, you and your colleagues really study how adolescents, our teens and new teens, are doing during this pandemic. What have you found?
Well, we've been really a part of a very large group of about 12 different research labs across the world this year. And we were particularly interested in issues of depression and anxiety that might be happening with teens. And what we have found across the U.S. and the world is that, yes, there has been an uptick in anxiety symptoms, depressive symptoms in teenagers. But we tried to dive in a little bit deeper and find out what were some things that were making it better or worse. And one of the things, or two of the things that we were particularly interested in was if an area was particularly high in terms of virus load, maybe that would also lead to more deaths, more people that they knew having the virus or being negatively affected by it. And that turned out to not be at all impactful on how much depression and anxiety these teens were having. What was the most predictive was how regimented the governmental restrictions were in their particular area in terms of lockdowns and keeping people away from school, sports, activities. So they're really missing their friends and they're missing their peer network, and that is really causing some struggles for them.
Wow. Okay. Well, that makes sense. You also, Nicole Campioni-Barr, have looked at how this pandemic is affecting children of different ages. What are some of the issues that you find younger children dealing with? So the older kids are really missing their friends. That makes a lot of sense. But the younger children also are not getting that socialization, and even toddlers are not getting that socialization. That must be really difficult at really crucial times of development. What are you thinking and what are you finding for younger children?
So the work of some of my colleagues, particularly in the Human Development and Family Sciences Department at Mizzou, are doing quite a bit about these younger kids. And they're really seeing that most of what kids are reacting to at those younger ages are the stress levels of their parents. So if parents are sort of showing off that everything's okay, we're doing okay, we have our routine, and trying to come up with some type of routine to keep things regular for them, then those kids are doing pretty well. If there's a lot of reactivity, there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of chaos in the house, that is really going to impact them negatively.
Okay, so I know a lot of parents who might be listening to this right now are even more stressed out because the last thing you want to hear is that your stress is making more stress on your kids. So no pressure, everyone, but just you need to be very mentally healthy right now. So Dr. Campioni-Barr, what do you say to parents who are stressed about being stressed and stressed about that stress being passed down to their kids right now? What can we do to kind of look after ourselves? I know that even my daughters who are older are probably impacted by my anxiety, and they're not shy about telling me that sometimes. But what do we do to look after ourselves and not put it on our kids, or maybe we just share it with our kids. What do you say to that?
It's really difficult because I know that so many of us have kind of abandoned some of the things that are our typical go-tos for self-care, whether that be eating healthy, drinking lots of water, getting sleep, exercise, having time away from our kids, which is really difficult to do right now, especially with younger kids. But those are the kinds of things that are going to make you be able to handle all of this better. And the fact is that no matter what time of year it is, and whether it's a pandemic or not, what we find is that when parents are doing well, their kids do well, over and above everything else.
Amy Evans with ParentLink, what do you say to all of this about the different age groups that are being impacted and how parents can stay well during this time? What are you telling parents that call in?
Yeah, so we are hearing the exact same things, and we're telling families and parents, you know, again, just like has been said, to, you know, take care of themselves. Self-care is really important. We also meet families, you know, where they're at, and try to support them from where they're at, you know. And, you know, some of the situations are really stressful, you know. We can't put food on the table, and so really trying to support families, get them connected with the resources that they need so they can handle the stress, you know, better, or can get some resources to help. You know, the importance of a routine for everybody is another thing that we really talk to families about, having a routine for the parents and for the kids. And yes, kids do learn from us. You know, we model how to handle emotions, those kind of things, as parents. And, you know, as was mentioned earlier, you know, there is no perfect parent. There is no perfect, you know, we've all, you know, done really great things as parents and maybe sometimes not the best. And so supporting people and letting them know that, you know, it's not all over because you're feeling stressed and your children notice it. You know, what can we do to help with that so that, you know, things get better and you can get on a routine? And so what we do is we really help families kind of think through those things, help them problem solve, and connect them with resources and support so that they will have some help with managing some of the stressors.
Okay, that sounds like a great resource. You know, job loss has been a big concern. My producers point out that Catalyst, a group that looks at women in the workplace, found that 4 in 10 parents, almost half of parents, feared being penalized for having to take care of children and work. So just for that balance, the survival mode that everybody's in, add on top of that fear of losing your job, which isn't surprising. 42% of parents are afraid to take advantage of their company's benefits because they're afraid they'll be fired if they do. So I suppose a lot of that has to do with mental health and just being confident in your workplace enough to be able to admit that you're struggling. Let me ask Amy Evans, because you've dealt with a lot of these concerns, have you seen the workplace concerns coming to the forefront with parents and especially moms, I think, according to the data, but I also know plenty of dads doing this balance. Some of them are KBIA producers that are doing this balance as dads and moms. How can this issue be alleviated? Amy, did you have any advice on the work front?
Yeah. So we have had a lot of calls about the work front and just trying to balance that. And, you know, it's a new situation. We've never had to, you know, deal with this before, working at home, having kids at home, you know, those kind of things. So there was school and there was childcare, you know, those kind of things. And so, you know, we definitely encourage, you know, talking with your supervisors and your bosses and you know, the thing about COVID that's changed is that our supervisors and our bosses and our administration are having the exact same issues. You know, they are needing support also because they have kids too. We have heard a lot of job loss and a lot of people worried about finances because of that. And so in those cases, we definitely connect families, try to connect them with the resources that are available, to kind of help. We've had a lot of calls and resources where we connect them with housing resources, food, utilities, things like that to help families.
Thank you for listening to The Check-In. After our show, Dr. Nicole Campioni-Barr, an associate professor with the Department of Psychological Science, answered a couple more of our questions.
Apart from financial concerns from parents and between parents and their children during this time, do you know what type of issues parents have had meeting their children's emotional needs during the pandemic?
For younger kids, it really seems like their concerns tended to be surrounding, were they going to be worried about the virus itself or family members or if people were getting sick and things along those lines, and trying to keep things age appropriate when discussing with kids what was going on was going to be really important for them. But for the most part, as long as parents continue to talk to them and not just try to ignore it or try to push it away, but actually talk to them about the fact that, well, we're, healthy, and that's why we're washing our hands all the time, and that's why we wear our masks, and we're trying to avoid seeing grandma and grandpa for a little bit, but we're going to Zoom with them. Trying to talk to them about those things without just brushing it under the rug is really important, because they do pick up on our stress and our concerns and things mm-hmm. along those lines. But for older kids, a lot of it has a lot more to do with the fact that they're not able to see their friends as much or participate in their sporting activities or go to school the way that they are used to. And so it's a lot of that missing their extracurricular activities, missing those people that are outside of the family that they tend to gravitate to more when they get to be older children and adolescents. And that's really difficult to sort of navigate, because there are some families that are doing more and some that are doing less. And it's difficult when you have a teenager who's coming to you and saying, but so, all of my other kids, all of my other friends' parents are able to do this or letting them do this. And so a lot of it might be navigating, can there be a couple people that they're allowed to see, or coming up with opportunities that they could go outside and see people now that it's getting warmer. But they need to see those friends. They need those opportunities. It's more just trying to navigate what's going to be the safest option for that particular family.
Yeah. What do you think, what happens to a kid if they don't get to interact with people their own age and don't get to go outside and do those social activities?
If it's going to be something that's not, forever, that this is going to be something that's going to happen. And at the early part of the pandemic, we thought this was going to be a few months and they'd be fine and it would be okay. Now it's a little bit harder, not necessarily on the younger kids. They don't really know what they're missing as long as they're still getting social interaction time with parents or siblings or things along those lines. But what we do know is that for older kids, the problem starts to become, it's not that they absolutely have to have it all the time. It's just that they're not used to using parents and siblings as social supports the same way that they use their friends at that age. And so that is going to be more like trying to find creative ways to do that, whether that be that they, get on Zoom, or they're chatting on their phones more, or they, I know especially for boys, getting on video games where they can talk to friends and play with them in that context tends to be really helpful. The ones that are, especially once they get to be teenagers and they're not seeing anyone, I'd start to be worried, quite honestly, if they weren't pushing back against parents in some of those contexts, if they weren't asking for more of those opportunities. That might speak a little bit more to them wanting to be in social, more of an isolated situation. But for some kids, if they were under the within the normal school day, they were getting bullied or they had a lot of social anxiety. Actually, this time away from a lot of peers was really helpful for several of them. So taking a look at what is working best for your kids and what's not, and seeing if there are some other opportunities are really going to be the best option. None of this is going to be permanent damage as long as the kids eventually do get to socialize with other kids. So I'm not worried about that long term as long as they feel comfortable. But I do think that there's a possibility that we will see some kids come out of this with heightened anxiety and maybe need a little bit of counseling to work through some of those issues, particularly if they're not particularly used to being around people again, being around friends. Those might be some things that we see afterwards, but those types of anxieties are typically some of the easiest treatable. So those are the kinds that could be well situated with a short-term stint with a therapist.
Yeah. And as we're heading into kind of, I don't want to say the end of the pandemic, but we're getting closer to restrictions being lifted. People are starting to get vaccinated. People are starting to allowed to go out to restaurants, do activities and stuff like that. Is it going to be a challenge for parents to kind of keep their kids inside and maybe say we can do smaller things, but we're not going to go to the movies or the bowling rink, or we're not going to hang out with 10 friends, even though everyone else is? Is that harder now that we're kind of seeing that shift?
Yeah, and I think especially if older kids are on social media or seeing those kinds of things happening with other people that they know, that is going to be a challenge for parents. And it's definitely going to be a situation where kids in particular are going to push back on that. Trying to be consistent in some way and set up a boundary that everybody follows is going to be really helpful for parents, even though it's not going to necessarily be easy. But it's going to be more difficult for parents if it's, we can only see 3 friends at a time kind of a situation as sort of a general rule. But then that one time you let them go hang out with 15 people, you're not going to be able to rein that back in afterwards. So trying to be consistent and sort of loosen up gradually and be very explicit with them about what our family rule is going to be around these issues and then stick to that is going to be really helpful. Trying to go back and forth is going to make life harder for parents as they negotiate with kids about these things.
Okay, gotcha. And then I just had one last question for you, and then I'll send you on your way. But I was wondering, you were on the show on Thursday. You heard people call in. You kind of got the energy of how parents are feeling. I was wondering if you had any last bits of advice to give to our listeners.
I really think that everybody just needs to be as self-forgiving as possible. We've been through a lot this year, and I know that everybody is worried, about long-term ramifications or whether or not they chose the right things. Most of us were really just doing the best that we could with what we had at any given moment. And as long as our kids see that we love them and care about them and that we are trying to keep them safe and healthy and that we have their best interests at heart, the rest will gradually get better and we'll be able to make it through. And most of these kids are really just not going to have long-term ramifications for this. They didn't know what to expect from this time in their lives. This is what they got. So we're going to just make the best of that. And most families, most kids are going to bounce back just fine as we start to move into this next phase of being able to open up and see people again a little bit more.
All right. Well, that's very helpful and good to hear. Those are all the questions I have for you. Thank you so much for talking.
No problem.
That's all for the check-in. If you liked what you heard today, make sure to follow the check-in wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your support and we want to hear from you. Do you have any thoughts on today's episode? You can leave us a voicemail at 833-560-1329 or tweet us at check-in_KBIA. The Check-In is produced by Alicia Haywood, Trevor Hook, and Janet Saidi. with student producers Becca Newton, Hannah France, Fernando Naro, and me, Isabella Paxton. Special thanks to our news director, Ryan Fomuliner, engineer Mark Johnson, and program director Kyle Felling directing this week's show. That's all we have for you today. Stay well and stay in touch.